baby boys, the great I am. Amen. What a good song. If you win your Bibles this morning, turn to Matthew chapter 1. You expect me to turn to one of the passages in the Gospels about the Christmas story, and we will do that this morning. Matthew chapter 1. Our theme again, as we repeat it this Sunday and next Sunday, is hope in God. And this morning I'm going to preach again on hope that has come. Hope that has come. Hope in the gospel. Hope in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is hope. Amen. It's good to have many visitors with us this morning. And it's good to have some folks from out of town. The Bastards are here with us this morning. And got one of the sons with us this morning that we prayed for. Amen. It's good to see him. It's good to see the Grosses, Brother Gross's parents here, right? I got it right? Yeah? Ooh. Amen. Good to see y'all here this morning. And it's good to see Miss Johnston back with us after being sick and in the hospital. And Brother Mosley as well back there with us this morning. Amen. Several we want to be in prayer for. Brother Smith's in the hospital. Remember him in prayer with pancreatitis. Must be in the water. Be careful about drinking the water here at the church. Pancreatitis spreads. I'm just kidding. But Brother Smith has been diagnosed with pancreatitis, but should get out tomorrow the next day and pray for him as he recovers. Miss Abrams, Carla, remember her in prayer. She continues there in the hospital with complications from pancreatitis. They are doing some more procedures this week. Keep her in your prayers. Brother Ivy's been in and out of hospitals and rehab now with I'll call it a light stroke. I'm sure that's not what they called it, but a light stroke, and be rehabbed for 7 to 14 days, but should make a full recovery. Woo-hoo, amen. Remember him in prayer. And then I heard this morning they took Kathy, their daughter, to the doctor this morning. So not sure, haven't got a report on that yet, but remember her in prayer as well. Miss Frances Neal, remember her in prayer there in rehab in South Fort Worth after a hip surgery. And I know I mentioned many this morning, and we have several out of town traveling as Christmas break is now upon us. Just remember our family in prayer, amen, during this holiday, during the Christmas time, and just that God be with us. Keep us safe on the roads, and keep these here in the hospital close to your heart and pray for them. And speedy recovery. And again, good to have outsiders with us this morning. Though we had, again, one of the outsiders. Well, they're still members, so singing with us this morning in the choir. Amen. I even saw he had his tithe check with him this morning, his pocket, so we're good. Amen. Well, it's good to have the youth sitting on the front row this morning. I think they're sending some kind of psychological message to me. The psychological message that I will bring to them is I will be getting off the platform and preaching to them this morning. No, you know how the old preachers used to spit and slobber and yell a lot? I think I'll do that this morning. I do that from time to time. I think about it, I'll do it this morning. You sit right there, that's Bray Row, you know. And y'all did this willingly this morning, or did you have your arm twisted? Arm twisted, didn't you? Eli? Had your arm twisted? Yeah. Being truthful? Amen. You got pink in your shirt this morning? Okay. Everybody settled down now? Matthew chapter 1. I got the crowd riled up. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Hope has come. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, means he's a fair man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus. Amen. For he shall save his people from their sins. That's our text this morning. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. What a wonderful name, the name of Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank You this morning for Your love and Your grace and mercy, the love You extended to us by sending Your Son to die on the cross for us. Lord, in sending Your Son to be born in that manger, to live a perfect life, to die on the cross and then rise again from the dead. Help us, Lord, again this morning to see that hope, the hope that has come. We pray that You would hide me behind the cross this morning. I pray, Lord, I need You. This is certainly a sermon that's familiar with most who are in the auditorium this morning. I pray this morning it would be seen afresh and new. And God, You're the only one who can make that happen this morning. We ask this in Your name. Amen. Hope has come. It says, "For He shall save His people from their sins." Salvation. Salvation's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation's found in the works of Jesus Christ. Hope is found in Him. Christmas is here. It'll be this Saturday. This Saturday, right? This is a time we set aside, or has been set aside, to remember the birth of Christ. But let me tell you, not only do we remember the birth of Christ on the 25th, we remember His birth and His resurrection every Sunday. Amen. And it is Resurrection Sunday every Sunday. But Christmas is here. There's a lot of debates as to, you know, saying happy holidays or Christmas and all these things that go on, have been going on probably the last 20 years, especially when it comes to Christmas time and the debates and controversy behind it all. But let me tell you, there's no controversy or debates. Jesus Christ was born. Jesus Christ was born. Born of a virgin. We preached a lot on hope this year. Again, it's our theme for 2010. But again, let me tell you, hope has come. Hope has come. Hope has come by way of the birth of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to be just real plain and simple this morning, not a whole lot of variations from what we preached in the past around Christmas time. But let me tell you and remind you again this morning that Jesus Christ's birth was no ordinary birth. That, you know, others have been born who were great men, George Washington, many of our founding fathers, and we think of some of the great preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon and many more who were great men born into this world. But let me tell you, there has no man been born greater than Jesus Christ. No man been born greater than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, our Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus Christ was and born into this world by way of a miraculous birth. I don't use that word lightly. Miraculous birth. It means that God intervened. Can I say it again? A miraculous birth. A birth unlike any other human being has ever been born. Jesus Christ was born into this world by way of a miraculous birth. Let me just again review with you as we go into the Christmas season as well as we think about the new year, that there are some essentials to the gospel. There are some essentials if we are to have hope this morning. One of those essentials is the Word of God. This Word of God I hold in my hand is the sole, absolute, full, sufficient, and final authority for all faith and practice. This book I hold in my hand, the Word of God, is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. Amen. From cover to cover, it is God's love letter to us. We've talked about it many times. If you rip the page of the Bible on any page, it bleeds the blood of Jesus Christ. This is the story of the Lamb of God who would come and take away the sins of the world. The Bible, the Scriptures, the Bible I hold in my hand this morning is the inspired, inerrant, the Word of God. That is fundamental to the Christian faith. And number two, we have the atonement of Christ, and that is salvation solely in the person, life, and work of Jesus Christ by grace through faith. Hello? Amen. We believe in the atonement, that Jesus Christ gave His life for us, shed His blood for us on the cross of Calvary, and that by putting our faith and trust in Him and Him alone, by way of grace, by way of faith, we have everlasting life. Amen? Jesus Christ was God. He was man. He was sinless. He died and was buried and rose again. And He is uniquely qualified to be our Savior. The atonement of Jesus Christ is an absolute fundamental of the faith. What does that mean by fundamentals of the faith? I mean essential. Just like this afternoon, when we're done here, you'll go out to your car and you'll turn the key. If you put gas in it, it might start, right? Depends on whether it's a Ford, Chevy, Dodge, whatever, right? No? Well, if it's a Chevy, it'll start, okay? But gas is essential to the internal combustion engine for it to start. It has to have gas. It's essential. Without it, it won't start. Without it, you won't get anywhere. And let me tell you, unless you understand and believe that the Word of God is the inspired and errant Word of God, you'll get nowhere. There is no hope unless this is the inspired and errant Word of God. There is no hope unless Jesus Christ atoned for us on the cross of Calvary. And thirdly, one of the essentials of the faith, the fundamentals of the faith, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ bodily from the grave. He didn't swoon on the cross. Amen? That wasn't His spirit on the cross. That wasn't some apparition of Jesus Christ on the cross. That was Jesus Christ bodily hanging there on the cross, and they put Him in the grave, and 3 days later He rose again from the grave and now sits at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen? That's Jesus Christ. That is essential to the Christian faith. That's essential to hope, that Jesus Christ rose bodily from the grave. Number four, the imminent return of Christ. One of the fundamentals of the faith is the imminent return, the soon coming return of Jesus Christ. He could return any day. Oh, I'm looking forward to that blessed hope. Titus calls it blessed hope. The blessed hope of His return. And He's coming again. Amen? Coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, but surely soon. Coming again. Coming again. Amen. He's coming. Lastly, the virgin birth. I kind of put them out of order this morning because of our text, but the virgin birth. It is essential to salvation. It is essential to having a home in heaven. It's essential to having our sins forgiven. It is one of the fundamentals of the faith. Without it, there is no hope. And that is the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 1, we read in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ is on this wise. When His mother Mary was the spouse of Joseph, before they came together, she was found of child of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 25. It says, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And then in verse 23, here Matthew quotes Isaiah 7:14, an Old Testament prophecy of the Messiah. And I'll read that. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. That's miraculous. Hello? I don't know about you, that don't happen. That's miraculous. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call His name Emmanuel. And then Matthew tells us, being interpreted, God with us. God with us. The virgin birth is essential to salvation. It says, for He shall save His people from their sins. How is that? Well, these five fundamentals. One of those being the virgin birth. Hope was born. A virgin conceived. A virgin conceived. Verse 23 again, Emmanuel, being interpreted, God with us. I want to remind you this morning that that baby that was born in the manger, according to the Bible, according to the Scriptures, Isaiah 7:14, was Emmanuel, God with us. John 1 verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word, capital W-O-R-D, became flesh. Emmanuel, the baby in that manger, was God in the flesh.
First Timothy chapter 3 says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Can I remind you this morning, I don't care who knocks on your door and tells you that that baby was nothing but a man, that he was simply the Son of God. Let me tell you, he was God. Anybody tells you differently, the Bible says you ought to be careful about them, not let them in your house. That's for another message. But Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He's not simply a man. He's not simply a boy born there in that manger. That is God in the flesh. In fact, the Bible describes that same boy that was born, that baby born in the manger, is the same God who created all things. And by Him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by Him and for Him. Amen? Colossians, as well as John tells us, God in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. He was just as much God as though He had never been man. And just as much man as though He had never been God. He was the God-man. God incarnate. You hear that in our songs. Some of our hymns say, hail the incarnate deity. Incarnate. God with skin on. Amen. God with skin on. Made in the likeness of man. Being found in fashion as a man. He humbled Himself. Amen. Incarnation of Jesus Christ. Born of a woman. Galatians tells us. Born of a woman. Again, without going to all the intricacies of it, we understand by the Bible that Mary provided the sustenance in which a woman provides for conception, and the Holy Spirit provided that which the man provides. Amen. She was born of a child, the Bible says, found with child of the Holy Ghost. Verse 18. Found with child of the Holy Ghost. I don't care what Henry Morris says in the Defender Study Bible. He's wrong. Men are fallible. Mary did provide. The Holy Spirit provided. And Jesus Christ was born. Amen? Amen. Emmanuel, God with us. We think about verse 20. It says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Of the Holy Ghost. Can I remind you that Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Can I tell you this morning that we are all born sinners? Right? Right? We know this. The Bible tells us, as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. We are born in this world sinners. We are born sinful by nature. Why? Why are we born that way? Romans chapter 5, verse 12 tells us, wherefore as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, that death, the penalty for sin, and death by sin, and wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. That sinful nature, that death was passed unto all men through Adam. Through Adam, the first man. Hello? But can I tell you, Jesus Christ didn't have an earthly father. And therefore, because He had no earthly father, we've already read it, that was provided by the Holy Ghost. Because He had no earthly father, He received no sinful nature. Amen. He was born of a virgin, born of the Holy Spirit, not born of man, born of a woman, not a man, and therefore received no sinful nature. Can I tell you that He was sinless in His disposition? That means in His nature. Absolutely sinless. He was sinless in His desires. Never one time did Jesus Christ desire to sin. And then also He was sinless in His deed. Never one time did Jesus Christ perform a sinful deed. That's amazing, right? That miraculous birth enabled Jesus Christ to be born without a sinful nature. And there's so much more to it than that. Because He was born sinless, He lived a perfect life. He lived a perfect life. There's hope in the Lord because of the virgin birth. And because the virgin birth produced the God-man, the perfect man. By the way, the Gospel of John, the Gospel of Luke presents Him as perfect man. The Gospel of John presents Him as God. In fact, John tells us that on two occasions, Jesus Christ was almost stoned because He claimed to be God. He was almost stoned to death because He made Himself equal with God. That's what the Pharisees and Sadducees said. The virgin birth produced a perfect man. A perfect man. It produced the God-man. And we are saved not only by the death, burial, and resurrection, but can I tell you this morning, we are saved, according to Romans 5, by the life of Jesus Christ as well. For without the perfect life, you and I have no chance, no hope in the resurrection. No hope of standing before God. Why? Because when I accept Christ as my Savior, when I trust in Him and Him alone by grace through faith as my only means of salvation from the wrath of God, from hell, when I trust in Him and put my faith and trust in Him, my sinful record's erased. But just as important as my sinful record being erased is that Christ's sinless record is put in its place. I am justified before God when I accept Him as my Savior. I'm justified. My sins are washed away. The Bible says, never to be remembered anymore. They're thrown as far as the east is from the west. Amen? But thank the Lord, not only have my sins been erased, past, present, and future, but Christ's sinless, law-fulfilling life of 33 and a half years has been put in its place. And I stand before God redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand before God just. I stand before God redeemed. I stand before God in Christ. Amen. Just as if I'd never sinned. Listen, I know I'm a sinner saved by grace. Listen, I still sin. But before God, in Christ, because I am in Christ, I stand before God clean. White, pure, sinless before God. See, God doesn't see my sinful record. He sees Christ's sinless record. The virgin birth produced the sinless life of Christ. Amen. The life of Jesus Christ. Secondly, this morning, not only do we have hope because of the miraculous birth of Christ, but we have hope because of the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall save His people from their sins. Not His sins. Their sins. You say, what do you mean? I'm saying Jesus Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He, that is, God the Father, hath made Him, God the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. We just talked about it. He was a perfect man. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We are made perfect. We are made sinless in Him. Why? Because He, Jesus Christ, took our sins upon Himself. And that wages or that penalty of sin, that wrath of God upon sin, He took that wrath on the cross, not for sins He had done, but for our sins, that He might save us from their sins, from our sins. And there He gave His life for us. There He shed His blood for our sins. He took our place on the cross. He took our wrath. He took the penalty of sin for us. He was indeed our substitute, the atonement of Jesus Christ. The atonement of Jesus Christ. For most of us, a very familiar passage in Isaiah 53. And I'm going to turn over there and read it. We think of Jesus Christ. We think of this passage in the Old Testament. A prophecy concerning the Messiah. Verse 1 says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant," talking of Jesus, "and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. that we should desire Him. There is no beauty that we should desire Him. I'm sorry. Jesus Christ was not the fair-skinned, blue-eyed picture that you see the European artists have drawn. Listen, that's not Him. He was a Jew, right? He is despised and rejected of men, verse 3, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne, listen, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was bruised for our transgressions. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. I'll stop there. But Jesus Christ took the iniquity, the sin of the world, and there on the cross of Calvary, He paid the ultimate price and gave His life and shed His blood for our sins. He died in our place to save us from our sins. The miraculous birth of Christ, the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ, He died in our place. The perfect, spotless Lamb of God died for us. Lastly, we think of He came to save His people from their sins. To hope has come. Why? Because of His glorious resurrection. Because of the glorious resurrection. Again, many verses we could turn to, and we preached this passage earlier in the year as far as hope. There is hope in the resurrection of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the power behind. It is the power of the gospel, the resurrection of Christ. It is the enforcer, if you would, of the gospel. It shows, it proves that Christ paid for our sins in full, and that death could not hold Him, and He rose again from the dead. Amen. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also in vain. Listen, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, this is just a bunch of nonsense. Let's go home and eat some roast and watch the Cowboys play. I don't know if they're playing today or not. But... right? If Christ did not rise from the dead, then our faith is in vain, and my preaching is in vain. That's what the Bible says. Yea, and if we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Still under the penalty of sin. But let me tell you, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have victory. We have salvation through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Philippians speaks of the power of the resurrection. Romans, that we quote so much, Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God hath what? Raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Are you saying, Brother Crawford, in order to be saved, in order to have everlasting life, in order to escape the wrath of God that's been placed upon sin, in order to escape death, the penalty of death, and the lake of fire, in order to escape that, I have to believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Yep. That's what the Bible says. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He came what? To save his people from their sins. How? How is that? How? By the miraculous birth. Amen. By the law-fulfilling life of Jesus Christ, that perfect life that virgin birth produced. The substitutionary death of Jesus Christ on the cross. He died in our place. Gave His life for us. And then the wonderful, glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Salvation. Hope is found in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He shall save His people from their sins. The gospel, the work of Christ, believing and trusting in Him and His finished work. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is hope. Do you have that hope this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you know today, if you were to die, that heaven would be your home? Have your sins been forgiven? Let me tell you, there's hope this morning by simply putting your faith and trust in Him. And let me tell you this morning as well, there's hope. There's hope. I like this. It says, we kind of just bypassed it very quickly, but it says in verse 19 in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, "For if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." But it does say we have hope in this life. Don't just think we have hope in the life to come. Amen for that. But Jesus said He came to seek and to save that which is lost. But He also said He came to give us life and give us life more abundantly. Can I tell you there's hope in this life? There's hope now. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to enjoy what God has given us. You can enjoy what God's giving you now. You know you can enjoy your marriage. You know that God institutionalized and made marriage to be enjoyed? I know I say this a lot, but it's funny how many people are married and yet live miserable lives. Marriage was meant to be enjoyed. Are you enjoying your marriage? Can I tell you there's hope? Can I tell you this morning that kids were meant to be enjoyed? Hello? Kids were meant to be enjoyed? Do you enjoy your kids? Amen. You ought to enjoy them. You know what? If you don't, there's hope in Jesus. If you enjoy life, there's hope. You can enjoy what God has given us now. We do have hope with this life. And then there's hope in the life to come, in eternal life. We are looking for that blessed hope, looking for the day that Christ returns. And He takes us home to be with Him, to enjoy heaven for all eternity. Amen. Amen. Do you have hope? Hope has come, but do you have that hope? Do you have that hope? Do you have salvation this morning? Do you have hope in this life and the one to come? Let's all stand.